class and appreciate the good crowd we had and good lesson and had a good time. And we got some of them people in there fixed, I think, in our room that wasn't very merciful. We got them better. But again, I want you to remember our deacon ordination tonight. The ones being ordained and our deacons here, and anyone that wants to be part of our ordination council needs to be here about 5:30. Service will start at 6, so remember that. Be much in prayer for it. Excited, and I'm ready for that. Do we have any prayer requests this morning?
My granddaughter Brianna Thompson's having surgery in the morning, and her nose will be in a cast for a week.
She got hit in the face with a softball, right?
Uh-huh.
Ooh. I can't imagine. Remember, Linda and her family, there's some sickness and stuff this morning. She texted me early and their whole house is sick, so y'all be much in prayer for her and the boys. Have any others? Pray for that. Remember that. Do we have any others? Any more? Any more prayer requests? Brandon, will you lead us in prayer, please?
You know each and every one of them by name and need, God, this morning, that we pray that we can come to you in comfort for those this morning. God, as we enter in a time of worship, we pray now that you'll just open our eyes and ears to what you would have to say to us through the songs. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We stand and join us in our call to worship.
Yeah.
I'm was filled with his praises. One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory
something. Everyone made fun of me for saying okra a few weeks back. Every one of y'all was saying pyre. We can't help it. It's just where we was born. Good to see everyone out again today. Looking forward to the day. I know the if y'all's clock like mine messed up, it went forward. The time didn't seem right when I woke up this morning, but what a blessing it is to wake up.
Amen.
Y'all were being much in prayer for Linda's family. Her grandchildren's grandfather passed away. She just texted me. I think he lived over towards Jacksonville. So y'all be much in prayer for them as they're sick also. So just lift them up in prayer today when you pray. Have your Bibles, turn to Job chapter number 1. This is a very familiar story. We've always heard of Job, and but today we're going to preach about it a little bit different, I think. And I've never preached it this way anyway, so I hope you get something out of it. We're going to preach about the hedge. I'll preach about the hedge. You'll see here that as we begin getting into Job, a little background, you probably have heard he was a righteous man. He was one that God told Satan he could search all over and he could find one. He could find a man named Job who was righteous and upright. A man that feared God and stayed away from evil. And man, what a blessing it is today there was a man named Job. But I wonder sometimes, and it would be scary to have been found of being the man Job and having to, because if you realize something, Job suffered when he didn't deserve it. You know, a lot of times we in our lives, we suffer things that we feel like we don't deserve. But I was noticing as I was studying this that, do you realize there was only one in the earth that of all the people who was in the earth at that time, Job was the one that God told Satan, you can get him. You can try him, he'll stand the test. He'll stand the test. And the Bible does say that Job had a hedge about him, but today I hope I can show you in just a little bit about how that hedge was put there, about how it was there. Now, you got to understand a little something about a hedge to understand truly what was about Job. In the Bible days when they had vineyards and gardens, not a garden like we have, but when they had those to keep the animals out of them, they would build hedges about them, which me and you would probably call a fence, but a hedge was a little stronger probably than our fences are today, or especially a barbed wire fence. When I studied about it, it said they would dig a ditch all the way around their vineyard, or sometimes they put hedges about cattle that they wanted to keep in, but they would put they'd dig a ditch all the way around it. They would take the dirt out of the ditch and put on the inside part around the vineyard, and then they would pile branches and shrubs and all kind of stuff on top of the dirt. Then on the very top, they would put a row of thorns. A row of thorns so that nothing could jump over that thing. But of course you always had, and in Proverbs talks about some little foxes. We preached about before, sometimes little foxes could crawl up under, but Job had a hedge about him. I begin reading in Job chapter number 1, going to read verses 1 through 10. Job chapter number 1, verses 1 through 10. So there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one this day, his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting was gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. You notice in this that not only was Job a great man of God, he was a great father. He was ever watching after his children. And it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and eschewed evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand, So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you this day, Lord, for this scripture we've given. Father, we pray that you'll give us the ability to preach it for just a little while, and that we will preach it in a way that will reach the ones you will have to reach. And Father, we pray your spirit, most of all, will be drawing hearts so we can't understand anything, Lord, if you don't teach us through that spirit. And Father, we pray for that today. Lord, lift up this family that's lost loved ones in our communities and the sick. Father, we just ask you to touch them. Be with us in service. Let us take our minds off everything else and put it on you for just a little bit. And these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we begin reading about Job, you saw that he was a rich man. He was a man that had, not only was he rich in the material goods he had, he was a rich man. He had a great family. He had 10 children. He had all these cattle and all these different things. And man, he had it going for him. And Job, it's something to read about Job. And, you know, we're guilty in this day and time of saying that a man that's got a lot of stuff, surely he can't be godly or this and that. But Job proves to us that he was a godly man and God had blessed him with plenty of stuff. Now, that's not to say we should serve God to get stuff, but God blesses us when we are according to his will. Now, this story could have been about a man named Job who didn't have very much and was still a righteous man. So God determines, I always heard, that he will give us what he can trust us with. And I've come to find out, Terry, that maybe I'm not very trustworthy. But I truly, each one of us here today, we can cut up about it, but we're in a room full of blessed people. As you study the world throughout, if you have $250 to your name, or you can come up with something that's worth $250, you're richer than about half the world, or probably about three quarters of the world. So you truly are blessed today. You're a blessed people, but here Job was, and can you imagine being in Job's spot? And Job had done nothing wrong, and God decides to use Job to test him, to show Satan that there are people who will follow him no matter what. No matter what. And Satan begins bringing up something that, well now, I don't know if he'll follow you or not, God. See, it's not fair because you've got a great hedge put about him. And boy, I'm glad today that me and you as children of God have a hedge about us. We have a hedge that's protecting us and all of this. But you know what? I began thinking about hedges and began thinking about fences. And how many times have you went through down the road and you've seen an old cow with its head stuck through the fence? Or how many times you went down the road and you see a cow out, and the cow, you know, was in a fence that somebody had labored building and all this stuff, and they found a way out of this thing. You see, me and you today, if we're not careful, we can get out of that hedge. We can never get to a place of where God will let us go, but we can get out of the hedge. And I'm going to show you today, I hope, of why a Job was inside this hedge. The Bible is perfect. It speaks of itself. If you ever want to explain a scripture, you can look above or below, and the explanation will be there. I began thinking as I was studying this, God, what in the world was about that hedge? Why was that hedge important, and how did it stay there, and all this stuff? And God said, hey, look right above it. I showed you. So listen, the first thing that you'll see about Job was the hedge. The first thing that made his hedge up in this verses we just read, here it says that, I want to go back to, let's see, verse number 8. It says, and the Lord said to Satan, do I consider my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth. Number one, he was perfect and upright. This is the first part that made the hedge up about Job. He was perfect and upright, and to be a perfect and upright, the only way we can be is through Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God dwelling in us is the only way that a man can be perfect. We are not perfect beings. We struggle. We have sinful natures. So the Bible says that Job was perfect and upright. So how did he become that way? He had a personal relationship with a holy God. That's how it happened today. If we and you are to ever perfection, it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. So Job was a man that his life was his faith was in an almighty God. His faith was in one that can make a difference. Now, we have people in our world today that may think they're perfect and may think they never mess up and all this stuff, but I promise you something, outside of Jesus Christ dwelling inside us, me and you do not stand a chance. Right. We're studying about merciful this morning in Sunday school, and the Bible says give 7 times 70, and the Bible says we're to be merciful one to another, and it don't say be merciful when that one has been good to you. It says be merciful when they have wronged you. You got to be merciful when somebody has done something that don't please you, that you're upset with, and man, you just can't stand this thing. The Bible says we got to be merciful. How in the world can you be merciful when someone has just wronged you? How can you be merciful and forgiving when somebody has done something so bad to you? Listen, it's not natural to do that. That's not in our natural makeup. Our natural makeup, me and Miss Pat was talking earlier, was revenge. Wednesday night, I was talking about AIDS in our Bible study. Terry had to work late, so I filled in for him. And boy, I got in trouble, Terry. I began talking about how life was a vapor. And I turned around to look. I was trying to find somebody older than me in there. And just somebody happened to be sitting at the end. So I turned around and looked at her. And immediately, she thought I was being mean. So she had to be merciful to me. And she said that it was hard. Because the first thing that comes to your mind is revenge. She started wanting to call me short and all this stuff. But I knew what was in her mind. But the Bible tells us you got to be merciful. But listen, the only way we can do this, and not joking about it, is the only way we can be merciful to somebody who wrongs us is through the Spirit dwelling in us. Because we are not perfect beings and we struggle every single day. Now, Job was one that the Bible says he was the only one in the whole earth. I began thinking about that. Man, how sad was it in this day that when Satan began searching, somebody he could test that would serve God, no matter what, God had to show him who this man was. And he said, this man, Job, he'll serve me no matter what. And I wonder today, how many of us sitting in these pews today would serve God away everything we have? I'm talking about if he'd take away your children, he took away your job, your house, your family. And number one, if he took away your health. If he had you to a point of where you was laying there, scrubbing yourselves with a potsherd, it said, or with a knife today, or anything you want to think about to scratch yourself with, if your body was in that shape and you had lost everything you own, would you still serve God? Would you still serve him? Most of us would be laying at home, on the floor, pouting and whining and complaining and saying, oh God, why me? Or we would be like Job's wife was. You know what she said? Curse God and die. What's wrong with you, boy? Just go ahead and leave this place. That's what would happen to me and you. But listen, Job was perfect and upright only by Jesus Christ. You turn to Isaiah, chapter number 64, verse 6. It tells us a little bit about this. Listen to what it says. But we're all an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. There was nothing good in Job. He was a human being. The only thing good was the God that he served and the God that dwelled in him because of his faith in him today. So the only good thing he had was Lord. And that's me and you today. We have nothing else to brag about. And I messed up. The guys bragged on me for staying in order. And I left a verse out of order, didn't I? But we got to go there. A perfect upright. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Listen to what it says. It says, not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if thou may apprehend that for which also am apprehended for Christ Jesus. This is Paul talking, a man who spent his life preaching the gospel, who spent his life pinning down this word so me and you would have it. A man who before this knew how unperfect he was because he persecuted Christians. He's probably responsible for killing, I've read, 50,000 Christians he may have killed or been responsible for. And he says here that, hey, neither had already attained. In other words, he had tried all the law, and he couldn't be perfect. The only way he could be perfect was through Jesus Christ. Facing the Savior proves that nothing can separate us from God. Listen, this man, he had simply a trust in this holy God that couldn't separate him, so this is why the hedge was built up. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38, listen to what it says. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Hey, none of this can separate us from the love that is Jesus Christ that makes us perfect. Nothing can do away with that. Nothing can overcome that hedge if we want to stay in it. But listen, to me and you today, we're so hard-headed that once we become perfect, then we have the problem. Once we have faith in Jesus Christ, we may be perfect for just a little bit, but immediately life begins happening. And when life begins happening, most of the time, if we're not careful, not in the Word, not prayed up, we'll begin following away from God instead of following to God. But Job was a man who did not do that. He stayed with God, and because of this, the hedge was built around him. Now, how many of y'all have ever had a dog or something that you built a pen around it or built a fence around it because you was trying to protect that dog? We've all had it. Or if you had a prize lamb, those that show lambs or cattle or whatever it is, you'll build a pen about that thing to protect it from the outside enemies. That's what God does with this hedge, is he puts it around us to keep us from ourselves. But we're the greatest enemy we have is me and you. We will begin fussing about, oh, this guy's against me, or oh, this is against me in life, and man, it just seems like I can't get ahead, and why does people always want to put me down, and why has life just got to stomp me and keep me down? And I promise you, if you'll examine your life, the greatest enemy you have is you. So God has put this hedge about us. The first part of the hedge was made up by being perfect. Listen to what he said about the second part. He says here, he says, perfect and upright, and one that feareth God. He had a reverent fear for God. Now, this ain't a fear of where we're afraid to hear some bad news, or where we're afraid when his kids was afraid of the dark, and some of y'all still may be. Or maybe were you afraid of a certain thing happening, or this. It's a reverent fear. If you look at words, it means a reverent trust. It means you have a reverence, a respect, a trust, knowing that he's in control of everything. Hey, why would we not trust a God that can speak and all the world come into existence? Why would we not have a trust in God that can just speak and all of a sudden light comes to be, or all this stuff he can do? He's just an amazing God. So why today would we not have a reverent trust for him? Why would we not do that? See, Job had this reverence because he feared God. It said a fear in the context means a holy awe or reverence of God. When we have this fear in our lives, we act as a hedge. The hedge, it acts as a hedge for us. We realize something that, hey, I've got this almighty God who's going to take care of me. All I've got to do is stay under this hedge. All I've got to do is stay exactly where he's told me to. He gave me 66 books in the Bible to help me and to keep me safe. And if I decide to leave, then I'm in trouble. You see, in those days when shepherds would lead sheep, they would take care of those sheep. They would be ever watching for predators coming in. But listen, there was times when a sheep would become unruly. There was times when a sheep would get out of the watch care of the shepherd. And it would go over here, and you know what happened? A wolf would eat it. Or something would happen, and if a sheep kept running off and it wasn't killed, eventually the shepherd would go out there. He would take his staff, he would hit his leg and break his leg. Why? Because he loved the sheep. He was trying to save the sheep. But you know what happened when the shepherd would go out and break the sheep's leg? He would pick the sheep up and then he would tote it to wherever he was going. Listen, a true shepherd never leaves a sheep. And me and you today, and may I tell you, have a true shepherd. His name is Jesus Christ. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He's ever there with us. If there's any leaving done, brother, it's you. We're the one that leaves. But listen, he feared God. It says a fear was one of the factors why the Bible says a hedge was about him. Why did he have this hedge? He feared God. He feared God. He realized something. That, hey, all this stuff can come against me, but I serve one who's bigger than all of it. He had a reverent fear, a reverent trust of knowing that no matter whatever happened, he was okay. Hey, I can't imagine getting the news that his child, not just one child, but all of his children was gone. And in this, he still had a reverent fear of God. He realized something. Now, hey, this is a mighty God. You don't believe me? You look back and you see what happened when they come and told Job that he had lost his children and he had lost everything. You know what he did? He worshiped. How many of us today have a reverent fear of God? That's something that has been lost in our churches. It's been lost in our communities all around our country today. We do not have a reverent fear of God. Listen, the Bible tells us we must have a fear of God. It's there for our protection. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, this is what it says. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Listen, this is a God who could speak and I would be gone. This is a God who can decide my days are up and I could be gone. This is a God who can also speak. Nothing can come against me, Rudy. This is a God who can speak and things can come against me. He can allow things to happen. Did you understand that when Satan come to God, he said, hey, will he serve you? No matter what, will he still serve you? And God said, yes, he will. He says, all right, pull the hedge back a little bit and let me in. And so God did this thing, but what did he tell him? He said, you can touch all he's got, but one thing you can't touch is him. Amen. I want to tell you something today. God may allow things to happen in your life. I promise you, your soul is secure. He cannot touch you. He cannot touch what matters. He can touch all you own. He can even touch your health according to this word. He allowed Satan to touch his health and all this. But did you realize something? Before he can do anything to you, he's got to go through God. Amen. He has to go through God. He's not near as powerful as God. You alone are no match for him. But through God, you can overcome him. So why have a reverent fear of one with all this strength? Why today? I begin wondering. I can remember of how we used to have a reverent fear and a respect for people who was godly. That is not there anymore, and I believe the reason it's not is because the lost world has not seen us have a reverent fear of our God. They've not heard us speak about our God. They've not heard us saw us live according to our God. I remember a time that would go into somewhere where somebody was at that you knew went to church, and you tried your best to speak respectful. You tried your best not to say words you would say out in the world. You tried to be respectful to them because you had a reverent fear. You knew who they served today. Me and you have lost that because we're not serving. Because we don't trust him, and we ourselves don't have a reverent fear of God. So why should a lost world have a reverent fear of him? But Job, a fear of God. That amazes me today of how this man was able to accumulate all this stuff and still feared God. Because I'm living in a time when I preach many times or I teach that, hey, a lot of times our material goods will take us away from God. If we have a lot of, and we're guilty of saying it, though the rich is, will be away from God. We know that that's not true in all cases. Truett Cathy is a good example for me and you that a rich man can be very godly. And it don't, money don't matter, it's where we put the money. But he had a reverent fear of God. Listen to this last one. Voice is important. He stayed away from evil. Stayed away from evil. That's what that word means. The King James Bible, it says eschewed. That means he stayed away from it. He didn't even get around it. He didn't want the appearance of it. And me and you today, what do? We tend to saturate ourselves with stuff that covers us all around, that draws us away from God. We've got it on our TV sets. We've got it on our phones. We've got it in different means today. We are so guilty of trying to find ways, it seems, to get away from God. We say, well, I don't know why in the world I fail. I don't know why this thing come into my life. I don't know why this happened. Listen, what have you been around? What have you been exposing your eyes to? What have you been exposing your children to in the world? Are we not godly anymore? It's because we don't try to stay away from evil. We put it everywhere around us. Most of us do. Every single day we are so saturated with this stuff. Listen, we turn our news on. This happened. We just constantly, it's there. Or we turn our TV shows on, and Lord knows ain't much on there to watch. But what we'll do instead of turning that channel, we'll set them to church and we'll begin saying that, boy, this TV station is awful. You know what I saw on this. And boy, I watched this show and this was on it and that was on it. Hey, I want to tell some of us and I want to tell myself, there's a button on that thing, turn it off. He stayed away from evil. He didn't get himself in it. Listen, you talk to anybody who has had an addiction. I know I preach about this a lot, and I talk about it a lot. But listen, you talk to anybody who's had an addiction, what number one way they don't fall back into it is they stay away from it. They don't have anything to do with it. You talk to an alcoholic, and I know an alcoholic very well. My uncle was one. He was recovered 40-something years ago, and he got saved, and since he hadn't taken a drink. But he tells me that he sits in his recliner after 40 years of being sober and he can still taste alcohol. And this is a man who will not go into a restaurant that serves alcohol. You know why? I'm not saying it's wrong for you, but it tempts me. It draws me. So for me to stay away from it, I've got to stay away from it. I can't go around it. I can't be in the presence of it. And listen, teenagers today, you want to stay where God's told you to be? Don't get around evil. You don't want to worry about getting caught up in all this stuff the world's doing. Stay away from it. Run away from it. When you see something you know is not godly, turn around and run as fast as you can. Amen. But you see what we'll do? We'll hang right in there with that crowd. And then we'll say, you know what? One time wouldn't matter. One time wouldn't matter. God will forgive me. One time won't matter. Then we'll say, two times won't matter. Then before we know it, we're addicted. We're caught up in the same lifestyle. We're caught up doing the things the rest of the world's doing. He stayed away from it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Listen to what it says. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If it even looks bad, stay away from it. If it looks like it's not godly, that God wouldn't be pleased with it, stay away from it. Get away from it. Listen, I've heard people say, I can change them. That's the number one thing we hear teenagers and kids say about if they're trying to date someone who's not godly or not in church and all this stuff, they'll say, well, I'm going to bring them to God. Let me tell you something. That might happen, but it's very rare. What begins happening is it begins drawing us away from God. Most of the time, the Bible teaches about being unequally yoked. We must be around the godly things. We must date folks that are godly. We must saturate ourselves with godly literature and with godly shows and whatever it is. If we want to be a man that was like Job, that God could say, he will serve me, then we must keep the hedge. We must keep it. But with this stuff, then we wonder, well, why in the world did brother so-and-so fall? Why in the world did he get addicted to pornography? Why in the world did he get addicted to drugs? How did it happen? I just don't understand it. He was brought to church, and man, he had a great youth leader, and he had a great youth pastor, and he had a great Sunday school teacher. How in the world did he get caught up in this stuff? He was around it. He put it around. He put himself in a position. You don't want to have an affair with a lady? Don't put yourself in a position. You don't have an affair with a man? Don't put yourself in a position. You don't want to get addicted to alcohol? Don't put yourself in a position. You don't want to get addicted to meth? Don't never try it. Stay away from it. Somebody offers you some, turn around and run. That's the only way you'll ever stay away. Job abstained from all appearance of evil. Abstained. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 through 15. Listen to what this says. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. The minute we see it, the minute we think it, the minute we come across it on TV, turn the channel, turn the TV off, or you come across it on your phone, hey, that's got to also, or you can hit the home button if you got an iPhone, it'll go back to where your apps are. Get away from that stuff. Don't come back to it. It says turn around and run from it, and eventually it'll pass away. The Bible says of itself, God has made a way out of all temptation. He's made an escape. He's made a way out of the things. There is a way out. I've heard people say, well, preacher, there just wasn't any way. I could not get into that. I was raised in this home. I was raised around this. I was around it. All my friends did it and everything. And that's how I come to it. Listen, run away from it. Don't even be around evil. It's a way you stay away from the thing. But we've got an ultimate protection. Now, the hedge I've talked about, that's why Job was hedged in. He lived according to God's rules. You see, me and you today, we want to be God's people, but we don't abide by all the rules. We do things our way, but we want God's protection. And I believe that once we're a child of God, we have a hedge that we can't break. That's that hedge of him holding on to our soul as he did Job. And I understand this story. Job didn't break that hedge. God allowed this to happen for an example for me and you of what will happen if we break the hedge. Do you realize where the hedge was? Did you realize in the scripture that where God said the hedge was? Satan said it too, God, but listen to what he said. Thou hast made a hedge about him. He had a hedge about his very self. He had a hedge about his house. That means his family and all that had anything to do with him, his workers and everybody. He had a hedge about him. God had a hedge of protection. What else did he have? All that he had on every side. Everything Job owned because of who he served had a hedge about it. It was a place. But our ultimate protection. Listen to this. Psalms 91. This is going to be long, but just listen to it. It's beautiful. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the Lord of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Thou shalt bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Sounds pretty protective to me. We serve a God that not only protected Job, they had a hedge about Job, and Job stayed in that hedge. We serve a God that'll put a hedge about you, that'll put a hedge about me. As a matter of fact, if you're his today, he's got a hedge about you. We get so anxious, we get so nervous, we get so worried. What's going to happen tomorrow? Some of us sitting in these very pews right now are thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow. What's going to happen tonight? What are we going to do when this happens? What are we going to do when that happens? We got a hedge about us. If you're staying, listen, we can choose to stay inside that hedge by following what God said. He said, hey, boys, you want to be in complete protection? Listen, nobody can get your soul. Satan can't do away with that soul. But you want to stay at a place where I've got you on all sides? He says, and listen, I've given you some direction. I've given you some direction just as I gave Job. Be perfect and upright. In other words, you got to be saved. It's the only way you're going to be. He said, fear me. In all things, consider that I'm in control, that you got a reverent trust in me. And then number three, stay away from evil. Don't get that junk in your life. Don't even get around it. Don't even look at it. I said at the beginning of this thing that we're our own worst enemy. We're the number one one. We tend to try to look at the enemy coming on every side. We need to look in the mirror. That's where the enemy's at. Do you realize this also? God allowed Satan to touch some things to test Job. But if you read the end of that story, he restored it. He restored it. I'm not going to tell you that God will never allow anything bad to happen to you, even if you're inside this hedge, because it will. God allows tests to come because it makes us stronger. But what I will promise you, according to that word, he'll restore it. You say, well, preacher, there's no way he could ever restore those children. Those children, according to what I read, in that day we know that Jesus hadn't come, but the sacrifices had been made for them children through their father. They'd made the sacrifice. They had sin. Those children, my friend, are in heaven. God will restore it. Do you realize that? I don't know if God probably wouldn't allow this thing to happen if those children hadn't been Job right there. If them sacrifices hadn't been given for them children, he probably wouldn't have taken them. I can't answer that for him. He's God. He can do what he wants to. But everywhere I look, he had protected Job. And I begin wondering, God, is there a hedge about me like that? And I've started praying. I've been studying this for a week. I've been praying, God, before I leave the house, God, put a hedge about me. Put a hedge about everything I touch. Put a hedge about it. And you know what I found out this week? Boy, things goes a lot better. Things goes a lot better. I wrote a summary to this one. God has built a hedge about us, and the hedge is given, just as Job was. The hedge is for our protection, but we can decide if we want it or not. The hedge is kept by the three ways that Job's was. He was made perfect through Jesus Christ. He feared God, and he stayed away from evil. Notice God's none like him in all the earth. There were many people that was by faith that believed there was a holy God of Israel in this time, but none that allowed God to build this hedge. It was around him, it was around his house, and about all he had. Job wasn't the only man that feared a living God in this day. There was more. Job was the only man that had this hedge built about him because of how he lived. Made perfect by God, feared God, and he stayed away from evil. Even King David had a problem with staying away from evil. He found it. You don't believe me? You go back and read the story about where he fell. What in the world would you be doing on top of a house if you wasn't looking for something? He was looking for it. He got around it, and our sinful nature has to have more. We had to have more. It's an ongoing thing. Today I want to ask you a very simple question. Are you inside that hedge? Is your life, are you living it, of where that hedge is built up the way Job's was? Yes, I know that you may be saved, and you can get away from God and he's still got protection. He is still a hold of you. You can't lose that soul. I believe that. I understand that. But I do know that he said Job was the only one in the whole earth that feared God, that stayed away from him, and it was perfect. It's amazing to me of how many Christian folks there are in our nation, of how many godly folks there probably was at Job's time, and he was the only one. You go back to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, God would have saved that place for 10 people, but there wasn't even 10. If God coming on an inventory of your life today, could he say that whatever your name is you put in this place, are you saved? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ today? If you do, do you fear God? Do you realize with a reverential fear that he's in control of everything? And boy, why don't you not want to stay under his control? Number three, and I think this is most important in our day, do you abstain from even the appearance of evil? Do you not even look upon it? Do you not even go around it? Do you not even, we ought to go 50 miles not to have to go beside it if we want to stay away from it. We know what happens to us as people. Once we see it, so that sinful nature is attracted to it. It's an attraction. We must stay away from even the appearance, or we can't even see it. Boy, as we talked about in our Sunday school lesson this morning, Rudy blamed it on Keith for buying the books that we was convicted of it. But listen, the word is sharp. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It can get down to even the marrow, the Bible says. It can get down to where we live. And it shows us something. It's for reproof. It's for correction. We're probably some in this building today that's out of that hedge. We may be participating in the evil. What do we do if we get to that place? What do we do if we're at a place of where something I preached about is in our lives? What do we do then? We do exactly what we see all the men through the Bible do that got to these places. David and the prodigal son. Number one, we got to come to ourselves. We got, in other words, he understood. You read that story about the prodigal son. Before he came back to the father, it says when he came to himself. When he realized something, this is not who I am. I don't belong here. I don't belong in a pig pen. I'm a son of my dad's rich. My servant's got more than what I got right now. We got to get to that place of coming to ourselves and then cry out. The Bible says, if you'll call upon him, he's just to forgive and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And again, that hedge is built back perfect. I was trying to picture this hedge as I was studying this week. And boy, my hedge looked pretty rough as I was trying to think about that dirt piled up. And boy, to the world, that was an ugly sight. To the world, that hedge was just ugly. Might want that dirt piled up and those branches and those thorns on top of it for protection. Listen, teenagers, to the world, that hedge that God has built around you is an ugly thing. Well, they can't do nothing. Why in the world they want to serve Jesus Christ? Man, they're just bound by this stuff, and they can't do it. Listen, it's because they're blind. They don't see of who you're serving. Keep that hedge. Keep that hedge of protection. Don't even look at evil. If you see it, turn it off. Turn it away. Don't keep it on. Boy, ain't it great knowing, even in the hedge, when we have, like the old cow that'll get out of the fence, we've got a shepherd that'll come, pull us back in, lovingly. 7 times 70. 490 times they said it was. But Jesus got to stop there. Listen, that's how our Father is. He'll keep forgiving. But listen, we break that hedge down. We're to have a fear of this Almighty God and want to stay as close to him as we can. As we come with a verse of invitation this morning, I don't know where you stand in your life, but boy, I had to do some checking up as I began studying this about my hedge. I had to wonder about my hedge, about the fence. You realize as men, your hedge affects way more than just you. Do you realize who Job's hedge affected? His whole house and all that he had, his hedge affected them. Dads, granddads, where's your hedge at today? You got that thing built up, or you got holes all in it? It's a hard question. As we sing today, everyone would please stand. You know where you stand.